Welcome to the first ever episode of the Ref Bump Podcast. This is your host, Randy. This is the wrestling podcast for the wrestling fan. So, what is this podcast going to be about? Well, it's a wrestling podcast, so you can kind of take it from what you will. We're going to do some reviews, weekly content, hopefully. Some lists, because I like lists. But I'm not going to do 10, I'm not going to do 5, I'm not even going to do 8. I'm going to do 7 things on each list. And then I'm going to go over my take on what happened in the week of wrestling that we're going to talk about. So, this week being, it's going into Wednesday. I haven't watched SmackDown or anything like that, but the whole Becky Lynch thing is very interesting. I just wish it was Ronda and Becky. Honestly, I don't think Charlotte should be in that match. I really do think it should be Charlotte versus Asuka, because I think that's money. So was Becky and Ronda. So why not have two money matches? But Asuka's gonna probably be facing whoever on the pre-show in a 5-minute match. So that's not gonna be too much fun. But here on the episode today, just because it's the first one, I'm going to do a list. And it's my favorite wrestling moments, my opinion. So let's get started. Let's get going. So number 7 was the Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon, Hell in a Cell match. Some people probably think, why? I was there, and it was a lot of fun. I was 6 rows back from the commentary table, and honestly, the experience was great. My first ever pay-per-view, the only one I've actually ever been to up until now. Hopefully, maybe one day I can go to more. I'd love to go to Mania. I'd love to go to Royal Rumble. I would love to go to each of the big 5, if you count Money in the Bank. Yeah, it was great. You know, my phone dies, I didn't get a good enough pictures, but I was pretty close to when Kevin was on top and he wouldn't want to come down, and then Shane fell off and all that kind of stuff. So it was a lot of fun. You know, it was a great experience, great matches too on that card. You know, AJ, the triple threat with Baron Corbin, for the U.S. title, that was a lot of fun. Ty Dillinger, I believe, was in that match, so, yeah, Ty Dillinger, he hasn't been anything in the last little bit, and that was October of 2017. That was a lot of fun. Number 6, it was John Cena's return at the 2008 Royal Rumble. That was a pop for me. That was huge. At the time, you know, they didn't have WWE Network where you pay $10 a month. You had to buy these $60, $70 pay-per-views. And so my family couldn't really afford them. So we did that one. And I remember him coming out, and I was a huge, huge John Cena fan. I was like 16 at the time, so I was a huge John Cena fan. And when he came out, it was huge. He went out a few months before that with a torn pec. And they were saying, oh, he's not going to be right for about a year. And Super Cena. I believe maybe that's the biggest pop he has ever had in his career. And he went on to win Royal Rumble and go on to face Orton and Triple H in a triple threat match at WrestleMania that year. So it was a lot of fun. Number 5. Eddie Guerrero winning the belt. No Way Out 2004. It was before I started watching wrestling. We'll get to that in a minute. But man, what a moment. If you follow the career of him, you know, from WCW and ECW and Japan and Mexico and all these other places, A world title eluded him, and that's the only world title reign he had in WWE. But with help from Goldberg, he beat Brock Lesnar, which is hard to believe that somebody can actually beat him. But this is back in 2004, so he went on to face Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 20, and he pulled some Eddie Guerrero, lie, cheat, and steal type of stuff, and won that match too. So, and he unfortunately passed away a year and a half later, about. So, it's pretty sad, but it was a great moment for sure. Number four, this is another big pop for me. I was a huge Batista fan, and it all started. Great storytelling in this 2005, winning the Royal Rumble. Him and Cena tumble out, they land equal. Vince McMahon comes out, blows up his legs. And then Batista gets back in the ring with Cena, throws him over the top rope, wins the Royal Rumble. And then for the next few weeks, it's, is he gonna go to SmackDown? Is he gonna face JBL? Is he gonna stay on Raw? Is he gonna face Triple H? His mentor? His leader of Evolution? Well, then it all boils down to a contract signing on Monday Night Raw and the infamous thumbs down, and a Batista bomb through the table and signs the contract, throws it on him. It was a great moment. The thumbs down was awesome. A little drawback about a year and a half earlier, or maybe even less than that, I guess. About 6, 7 months earlier, Randy Orton won the title from Chris Benoit at SummerSlam, and he was on the shoulders and everything, and Batista. And Triple H gave the thumbs down, and they kicked the crap out of him and made him bleed, and everything else. So it was a good little drawback, good storytelling there. Definitely one of my favorites. Number three, WrestleMania 20 as a whole. This was right when I got into wrestling, 2004. Friend of my older sister, just getting a VHS tape of WrestleMania and starting to watch it, and it was just one of those captivating things when you're 13 years old, you know. Actually, I think it was 12. But yeah, Benoit and Eddie at the end of the show with the confetti, and John Cena FUing to the Big Show, which was like a Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant moment. I don't know if they were trying to do that, but to me, that's what it was at the time. Because I knew what the I knew what wrestling was, and I knew what it was about and all everything, but I didn't get it until about then. You know, I was like everyone else, oh, it's fake. Well, you know, that word gets thrown around a lot, but it's a TV show. But yeah, it was my first ever time watching wrestling. I remember my first time really watching wrestling. Was right before this, but it was technically after. They were getting ready for the Great American Bash that year, and I remember something to do with the Big Show getting fired, losing to Eddie Guerrero, and then he gets mad and then choke slams Kurt Angle off of a ledge, and they cut to black with Kurt Angle laying there with blood everywhere, and I'm like, man, this is crazy. I thought it was real. The spot that a lot of people don't talk about, but it happened. You can find it on the network. Alrighty, but yeah, it was a WrestleMania 20 was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. A lot of big things happened in that show. You know, I kind of wish. You know, I thought, well, okay, WrestleMania 10, Madison Square Garden, WrestleMania 20, Madison Square Garden. Thought maybe WrestleMania 30, Madison Square Garden. Thought maybe they would keep that trend every 10 years, which would be sweet. That's a great place to do anything. I know it's not as big as some of the places they go, but just the history and the pageantry. Alright, we're on number two already. Number two is a series of matches. Two in particular, but four total. WrestleMania 25 to WrestleMania 28. Sometimes I can even throw WrestleMania 24 in there. Shawn Michaels put on performance after performance after performance. 25 and 26 with The Undertaker. In my opinion, two of the greatest matches ever performed in the WWE ring. They are phenomenal storytellers. Great spots. Undertaker almost broke himself in half at WrestleMania 25. Camera guy. Idiot. It's Snuka's son, I believe. But yeah, just a great series of matches, and then you get the 27 and 28, where it's Triple H versus The Undertaker, but Shawn's involved in the 28 Hell in a Cell match, and that's another great, awesome, very awesome matches. 25 and 26 are a little bit dear in my heart because I watched them live in my living room, but I watched them live, and it was just one of those you don't believe what you're watching kind of deals. And then I can throw WrestleMania 24 in there with Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair, because that match I think started Shawn Michaels' story. And a lot of things a lot of people don't talk about is Ric Flair had the ultimatum back in 2008, 2007, of the next match you lose, you retire. And correct me if I'm wrong, Shawn Michaels had that same ultimatum from Vince McMahon a few years later. And ultimately went down at WrestleMania 26, and it was his last match until the debacle of this last fall, known as Crown Jewel. But that was his last match. I mean, come on now. It was fantastic. The unwillingness to lay down at the end, the jumping tombstone at the end was my favorite. Just amazing, amazing matches. Before we get to number one, so I watched wrestling from about 2004 to 2010. And I stopped watching because of one storyline. The anonymous general manager. It was boring. And I think other things were going on in my life too. Just I was getting busier with different things. But that one stupid storyline made me stop watching wrestling. Until 2015, when a friend of mine said, "Hey, come watch this pay-per-view." I'm like, "Okay." I used to watch pay-per-views all the time. It was a Royal Rumble. I'm like, "Okay, I could pop for that, no problem." And so I went over there, drank a couple beers, watched this, and he had to explain every single wrestler to me throughout the whole thing, because it was 5 years removed from previous wrestlers. I didn't know who Roman Reigns was or Bray Wyatt or Seth Rollins, or I was like, "Where's CM Punk? Where's, why isn't Triple H there? Why is Triple H bald?" Like, it was a lot of that. And then I watched WrestleMania 31 that year, and the Royal Rumble 2015 is the one where Roman wins with The Rock's help, and then he's getting booed, and I didn't understand anything that was going on. Now I understand all of it. Because I thought Roman was a beast, and I thought he was the new guy, and what the hell did I know? But WrestleMania 31, I watched it and I thought it was awesome. The Seth Rollins and Randy Orton match was sweet. I was like, "Ooh, Undertaker. Ooh, okay, cool." And I was like, "Oh, that's not Undertaker that I know." And then you had the Seth Rollins at the end with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, and it kind of got me hooked again. Throughout that year, I kind of paid attention a little bit, warming myself back up into it, and then the next year again, I watched the Royal Rumble, and I was like, okay, WrestleMania is in Dallas, this is gonna be sweet, you know. And then there was one match, one moment, as you will, that got me completely back into wrestling. And it's Nakamura versus Sami Zayn at TakeOver Dallas, April 4th, 2016. If you haven't seen that match, you've been living under a rock, I think. Those two, it was physical, it was great, it was storytelling, it was just perseverance. I was so good, I watched it three times over. And I know NXT has so many good things going right now. So many good things. With Ciampa and Gargano and Black and all those guys, but and I watched this match not knowing who these guys were. Not knowing at all. I was like, who the hell is Sami Zayn and who the hell is Nakamura? I found out who they were after this match. And in my opinion, Nakamura hasn't had a match even close to that since. Especially in the main roster. Definitely, that's the match, the one match that got me back into wrestling. And then watching WrestleMania that year and seeing what they've done with the Women's Revolution, the women's title, it's like, ooh, okay, all right, this is gonna be something. WrestleMania 32 was pretty cool, but that match, that Sami Zayn versus Nakamura match was definitely the thing that got me back into wrestling. So, there it is. That's my top seven favorite wrestling moments. Next week, or more content this week, I'm not sure yet. See what my schedule is out there for. Maybe some more lists, maybe some more reviews, and yeah. Hopefully, we're doing this more, and the Ref Bump podcast is available on Castbox as of right now. Other platforms in the future, I'm sure. And this has been your host, Randy, and thank you for listening.